would be the eight-step prayer. God, please help me be willing. We talked about that. God, please help me be willing to be willing. God, please help me be willing for the willingness to be willing. And we talked about on page 12 and 13, four types of willingness. Regular willingness, humble, entire, complete willingness. Four different types of willingness. Got to have them, especially when it comes to this, okay? Remember, it was agreed that we, from the beginning, we'd go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. So when we talk about going to any lengths, it's not what we talk about any lengths in the fellowship where I go to 90 meetings in 90 days and get two home groups and all the stuff. I'm not saying that's not good, but that's not what this program talks about. Going to any lengths are these steps, this program, as it is out of this book. So now that I know what that is. So, obviously, we want to say about this. We made the list. You know, people, places, institution, column one, the fourth inventory. All we have to do is become willing. We talked about that. If we're not willing, we say the prayer. Obviously, we talked about the four types of willingness. Now, here's a suggestion to take your list of people you've harmed in from all your inventory. And I took this. Now, I will tell you that this is not out of this book. However, I've, from personal experience, have done it. And I've instructed and helped other people to do their amends process in this manner. It takes a process to where I won't stall and I won't wiggle out of it. And here's what I'm saying about. Here's what it is. You see this four-column process and we are done. One, two, three, four. Column number one. We are going to call these the right nows. From your list, the ones that you know you're going to make amends. You love them. They love you. Kind of, sort of, right? Okay, yeah. Call that the right nows. Unless, and there's a qualification, except when to do so would injure them or others. With all of these, and I'm jumping the gun, please talk to somebody who's done the deal and you're not creating more harm than you're solving. But the right nows, I think everybody knows that. And those are the ones that aren't going to kick your you-know-what and all that stuff. We'll call them the right nows. The second, some of these know that you will do sooner or later, but you're not too keen on doing that. We call them the laters, and that's not a candy bar or whatever. I think there might be something. You're not too keen, but you know, if you're going to do the deal, eventually you're going to get there, right? Okay. Obviously, we know that the laters. The third, obviously, you're not so sure. You may or may not make amends. We'll give you the benefit of the maybes. Yeah, the maybes. Then, obviously, that's going to leave you with just hopefully a few names on the right. And you call them the nevers. Never. Like I said, it's not listed in the book, but please trust me when I suggest or ask you to do that, because what will happen with that? Start with the right nows. And by the time you're through with that, you get some mojo. You realize, oh my God, this is, I can't believe what's going to happen. And you're going to have to do it to find out what happens. If you think you've had spiritual awakening, spiritual experience up till now, you don't know, you haven't experienced nothing until you get to that, okay? Anyhow, when you're done with them, then you'll be ready for the laters. And you get to them, and you'll start gaining emotion. And then when you go on done with that, you'll be ready for some of the maybes. And by the time you're done with the maybes, then start on the nevers. And here's why I say to do this, please. It gives you a simpler way to make amends to them all, except when to do so to not injure them or others. And also, it won't let yourself stop from doing that, because there have been so many people that I've seen that got some of these here. They focus on that and leave these behind. And you're done. And you're up the creek without a paddle, and you're stunned. And look at all the work that you have done up this point in time for nothing. Remember what it says? Half measures availed us nothing. Not some things, not part, not 50%, nothing. So once again, do not have the option to do that. So as you make these amends, you will become willing to make amends to them all after we have the list and we're ready to go through step nine. Now, here's step nine. It is a multiple part step. That means there's components to that, okay? The book tells us the kind of amends we need to make. It says made direct amends, okay? Tells us when and where we need to make these amends. Wherever possible, not whenever. If you tell an alcoholic to do something whenever, hell's going to freeze over before it gets done. That way you can tell the alcoholic in the neighborhood, he's got half the house painted, half of a fence up, half the yard done. I mean, yeah, we always are great starters, but never finish. We'll get to it whenever we can. It says wherever, not whenever. That's the two totally different things. Whenever is a time frame. Wherever is an area. Two totally different things. Totally different. Not whenever. Okay. And then it says, obviously, tells us when not to make them, except when to do so would injure them or others. Bill carefully, in these next few pages, has taken the three parts of this step and broken them down and separated them paragraph by paragraph to paragraph to show us direct amends. Repair equal to or improve, not to say I'm sorry. Tells us about wherever possible and when not to. Direct amends. What is a direct amend? It's eyeball to eyeball, face to face. So many people say, well, can I do it over the phone? If you harm them over the phone, I suppose you could. Can I do it over the text? I suppose if you heard them over the text, you could. Could I do it over email? Direct, face to face. We are, and it talks about that. Direct amends, okay? Then obviously, the purpose is not to make you like me. He tells us what the purpose is, and please, I can't stress how important this is. On page 77, this is the purpose of this step. I'm going to quote it right out of the book. It says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be maximum of service to God and those people about us. It doesn't say to make me feel better. It doesn't say for me to get rid of my guilt, shame, and remorse. It does do that only when I go in with that motive. This step isn't about me. It's about thee, Almighty God, my fellow man. Just in case we didn't know that, I'm going to go ahead and remind you what we said. It said, in the seventh step, when ready, we say something like this, quote, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. There's not one prayer in there about me. So if I'm going into these amend steps with about me, stop, because nothing's changed. It's about God, and it's about my fellow man. That's what this is about. Remember, we're going into the third dimension. That's what this step is about. It ain't about me. So if I'm going in, like I said, knight in white shining armor, and I'm going in about what am I going to get out of this and, you know, all this. And no, stop. Don't bother. Don't bother. That's what it just got done saying what the purpose of this is. So a byproduct, however, a result of this, it does get rid of my fear, my guilt, my remorse, and my shame of the past. Because I'm fixing what I broke, if they let me. Okay? If I don't do this step, time is going to pass. I can't stop it. Time can be used for a useful purpose to make these amends. And it can get me, let me get rid of the crap that I've accumulated. Or I can let it slide and let it slide and let it slide. And before you know it, 3 years will be gone, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it is, will have gone by. And I'll be in the same situation because I haven't done this. I haven't done this. But actually, I'll be in worse shape. I will be sicker and sicker and sicker as I let this go. And if I'm not careful, I can't even be drunk. And I've had so many people, especially in the men's step, financially. Well, do you know how old I'll be by the time I get them paid back? I said, yeah, you'll be the same age if you don't pay them back, you dumbass. I said, yeah. Oh. But here's the fallacy in that. Here's the fallacy in that. And I told my kids this too. I tell them that when they were of age, if you're smart enough to do it, you're smart enough to get out of it. If I'm smart enough to steal 100 grand, then I'm going to be smart enough to pay back 100 grand. And also, don't forget, we got God on our back. He's got our back from step three on. So if I'm saying I can't do this, once again, I'm disrespecting God again. I know better not to disrespect God, so I better be doing better because there's hell to pay. You know, we talked about that, the difference between free will, self-will, and God's will. So here's where it is. So I think we forget that we have God. If we are willing to make these amends, do these things, God will make that possible for us to do so. We, meaning myself and God, can straighten out these things if I really want to. Remember, God honors all choices, good or bad. And since this is a good choice, he's gonna help. He's going to do the deal. I will caution, you know, please talk to somebody, a sponsor, hopefully, somebody in the home group, somebody that had experience with this, before you do these things. And these are the questions that I would ask you to ask them. How are we going to make these amends? Should we make these amends? Should it be done at this time? And I'm going to go ahead and say that. Because you know what? Because I'm ready to make amends. They may be so raw, they got scabs, they got stitches, they got staples in them. And for me to go make amends and rip that open wide again, it ain't about me. It's about thee, meaning Almighty God and my fellow man. They may not be ready for 20 years. And guess what? I'm going to have to suck it up, buttercup. It's not my time frame, it's God's. Because if you're not careful, you're going to have to end up making amends for your amends. Now, only alcoholic would do that, right? Okay. Now, and also, what should we do about them? In other words, obviously, we don't want to do harm to others. Okay? And like I said, we need to talk this over with somebody. Paragraph by paragraph, he covers about any amend or situation that might come up. As when to make these and how to make them, just as important when not to make them when other people are involved. Various situations, and here they are. Domestic, sex outside the marriage. The answer to all amends should be able to find in this book. And it gives us at least 8 examples with variations. Once again, I'm going to say it again, 77. This is the long version. At the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order, but this is not the end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be maximum service to God and those people about us. That's why sometimes I can't do these when I want to, most of the time. People want to see a sermon, not hear one. They're going to want to see it different before you even approach them about trying to do this. Not to use that as a postponement, but timing is everything. Okay, so the next 7 pages, he goes about through every amend possible, when to and when not to. Page 77, our enemies. Or people we have ill feelings or hate for. He starts off with that. So just think if it works with those losers, I mean with those people, think about the ones we like or we love. And I believe that's why he starts with that. Page 78, he talks about if we owe money. I don't know how he knew that, but most alcoholics owe money. Page 78, if we committed a criminal offense, I don't know how he knew that over either. Page 79, if we were divorced and behind on alimony. 79, what to do so when, to do what to do and not to do when other people are involved. Page 80, more example when other people are involved. Page 80, 81, and 82, extramarital affairs, when to do so and when not to. 82, family relations. And he reminds us, four times we've agreed to go to any lengths for sobriety. Once on page 76 and three times on page 79. On page 79, remember I told you there's a prayer with every step? I'm going to give you some of the prayers for this step. On page 79, I call it a nine-step prayer or a guideline for these amends. He says, quote, we ask, whenever you're asking God, that's a prayer. We ask that we be given the strength and the direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequence may be. On page 80, another nine-step prayer, it says, ask, that's prayer, God to help. On page 83, it gives us some guidelines for these amends. It tells us, quote, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, humble, without being servile or scraping. Alcoholics need to know what sensible, tactful, considerate, humble. You might want to get out your book on there. So he tells us, in no uncertain terms, there is no guesswork in this at all. So, let's see what he really says on here. Page 76, at the bottom. Probably there are some misgivings. Oh, I think there are still some misgivings. I think that would be pretty appropriate. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident. That's lacking self-confidence, about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Spiritual, not religious. We went to great lengths to talk about the difference on that. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature, not religious, on our first approach. We might prejudice them. Here is what we're just talking about on page 77. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not the end in itself. Once again, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be maximum service to God and those people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who smarts from our injustice to him, announce we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with a chin. Waylay ourselves, be open to being branded as fanatics or religious bores. We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. A beneficial message, not yours. Okay, now, it goes on to say, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. Not to apologize or say, I'm sorry, set right the wrong. Oh, that would be an amend or amends or amendment. I get it. He's going to be more interested in demonstration of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discoveries, not religious. In other words, he wants to see a sermon, not hear one. Don't give me lip service. You know how many times you talk the talk and see the walk the walk. Don't tell me, show me. What you do speaks louder than your words. I'm not even going to listen to you. It's not about words. It's about action. Oh, that's right. It's not into talking. It's into action. Okay. Now it says, we do not use this as an excuse from shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, not my purpose, any good purpose, any purpose but mine. I see so many times people using AA as a crutch and doing, no. Mm-mm. It's about God and about my fellow mind. Any good purpose, not my purpose. Okay? And it goes on to say, we're willing to announce our convictions. That's not what the judge gave you when you got your jail sentence. That's what you believe in. So, yeah. We'll announce our convictions with tact and common sense. With tact and common sense. If I could make a suggestion, and it's a novel concept, try to put yourself in the position of the people you're going to. How would you feel if you were them? Oh, you mean I got to consider somebody else other than me? What the hell is that, right? Okay, come on, y'all. Put yourself in that position. You may word it a little bit differently. You may approach it a little bit differently. Oh, that's right, common sense and tact. Put yourself in their position. And that may talk about timing, okay? And it says, the question of approach the man we hated will arise. It may be that he's done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than a friend. We find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in helpful and forgiving spirit. So he's going to tell us how we should be when we make these amends. Please, when you do this, don't forget, if you may be the only representation of Alcoholics Anonymous when you go to make these amends, please be a damn good one, because you could be killing this guy or gal if they turn into one of us or need AA. You have the future of them, their children, their spouses in hand about Alcoholics Anonymous if you're the first exposure to Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll say, my God, look at what he or she are doing. Or they could conversely say, if that's all they got, I'll go to my grave before I'll ever go to there. Don't kid yourself. It happens every day. Okay? So it goes on. Go to him with helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Uh-oh, I'm going to have to find a new hobby if I give up my arguing. What am I going to do with all my extra time? Simply tell him that we'll never get over our drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. Didn't say I'm sorry, straighten out the past, amend. Okay. We are there. Oh, I get it. Face to face. We are there. Okay. To sweep off our side of the street, realizing nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. You might want to write these down. It tells us how to do them and how not to do, and this is how you do it. Set right the wrong. Use tact, common sense, helpful, forgiving spirit, straighten out the past, calm, frank, open. He tells us what not to do. He says, don't criticize, don't argue, don't tell him what he should do, and don't discuss his faults. If you think that's bad, wait till we get chapter 7, working with others. 86, we do these. 29, we don't. There is no guesswork. These ain't suggestions. These are directions. It tells us exactly what to do and how to do and, of course, what not to do. Now, here's what happens. Providing we do what we're supposed to do, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we're calling upon admits his own faults. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. It doesn't say we get our way. It doesn't say they love us and we walk hand in hand with spirit. No. Make progress. What progress? Oh, that's right. To fit myself to be maximum service to God and my fellow man. I get it. Progress. Not to make me feel better about me. You will, but that's not why we go to do those. That is a byproduct thereof. Okay. And it says, occasionally, our former enemies sometimes praise us for what we're doing and wish us well. Sometimes. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter. However, someone does throw us out of the office. We have made our demonstration on our part. It's water over the dam. And sometimes, if you aren't warmly received, and they throw you out and call you everything but a child of God, that's on them. Do them a favor and do yourself a favor. Don't keep going back for more, because you're going to end up doing more harm than you're doing good. It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, but it is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Okay. Number two, most alcoholics owe money. Oh, really? Okay. We do not dodge our creditors. They tell them what we're trying to do, not what we're trying to say, what we're trying to do. What are we doing? We're doing the deal. That's what we're doing, okay? We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know anyhow, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid to disclose our alcoholism in the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, what way? He just got done telling us from the beginning, that way. Not my way, okay? The most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. You know what? All they want is their damn money, which is theirs to begin with. That's all, okay? Arranging the best deal and stick to it. Don't make a deal you can't keep up with, because guess what? You're harming them again. You're blacking AA's eye. You're making yourself look like a, you know what I'm saying? Arrange the deal and stick to it. Whatever the deal is, okay? So we can let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must, not should, could, ought to, lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go. That means we got to pay them back, okay? You're right. For we're liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Number three, perhaps we've committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if we're known to the authorities. We may be short on our accounts or unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person when we did step five. But we are sure that we'd be in prison or lose our job if we're known. Maybe it's only a petty offense such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done this sort of thing. Maybe we're divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She is indignant about that. That's feeling or expressing anger on unjust action. And has a warrant for arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. Although these apologies, no, the reparation, repair equal to or improve, amends, take innumerable forms. There are some general principles that we that we find are guiding. Listen to how he throws this in. Reminding ourselves that we've decided to go any lengths to find a spiritual experience. He didn't say to quit drinking, remember? Spiritual experience, appendix 2, the 13 examples of change. That's what we're driving after. To fit ourselves to be maximum service to God and those people about us. That's what it's about. It's a lot more putting the plug in the jug. We ask that we, here's the prayer, we ask, nice that prayer, to be given the strength and direction to do the right thing, not to say the right thing, to do the right thing, okay? No matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position, reputation, or face jail, but we are willing. I love this next sentence. We have to be, period. Not a common, not yeah, buts, not a I'm a gonna. We have to, not should, could, ought to. If that ain't bad enough, look what he says next. We must. Same thing, not should, could, ought to. We must not shrink at anything. Once again, not some things, not most things, not a lot of things. A lot of things. There is power, power, power. Okay. Now, next example, number four. Usually, however, there are other people involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. In other words, I can't throw somebody else on the bus and say I made my amends. They did it. I just happened to be right there. I was, wrong place, right time. You'd be surprised. Yep. So, all right. It says, we know a man had remarried because of resentment and drinking and not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to the court and got an order for his arrest. He has commenced our way of life. He didn't say quit drinking, our way of life, design of living, 12 steps, doing the deal. That's what our way of life is. Let's see what happens. Had secured a position, was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he walked up to the judge and said, here I am. Okay. We ought to think he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. But if you're in jail, he could not provide anything for either family. We suggested he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness, and he did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he would be perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course, she did not, and the whole situation has since been adjusted. So you can see where there are other people involved. And by the way, when it says, may direct amends to such people, except when possible, would injure them or others, you ain't one of the others, by the way, so don't use that as a cop-out. You'd be surprised how many people twist that. You ain't the others. Got news for you. And it says, before, not after, before. Before taking drastic action, not just words, name of this chapter, which implicate other people, we secure their consent, direction. If we've obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help prayer, and this drastic step is indicated, we must, not should, could again, must not shrink at anything. I'm going to read that again. There are three requirements when other people are involved. Secure their consent before taking action, obviously. Ask God for help. Three requirements. This, and now he's going to give us an example of that. This brings brings to mind a story about our friends. This is an Oxford group member, by the way, and this happened. While drinking sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. I like the way this guy thinks already, okay? He subsequently denied having received the money. I even like it better now. And used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. He felt he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, take away the means of his livelihood. What right had he involved those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Exonerating his rival. Glad you asked that. He said, after, not before, he didn't do this until he got the consent, after consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator, capital C, guilty of such ruinous slander. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This is not just for the amends, but all of life. This is what he says. He saw that he had, not should, could, ought to, he had to place the outcome in God's hands, not in your sponsor, not in your home group, your therapist, your boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, whatever it is, in God's hand. Not just the amends, but your whole life. Or he would start drinking, he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval, and today he's one of the most trusted citizens in town. This all happened years ago. Number six, that chances are we have domestic problems. Oh, really? Okay. Perhaps we are mixed up with women in a fashion we wouldn't care to have advertised. He's being nice. In other words, that means you're having an affair, you're having sex out of your marriage. Okay. We doubt if in this respect, alcoholics are fundamentally much worse than other people. But drinking does complicate sex relations in the home. After a few years with an alcoholic, a wife is worn out, resentful, and uncommunicative. How could she be anything else? In other words, you ain't getting any. Okay, so that's what that is. All right. The husband begins to feel lonely, sorry for himself. He commences to look around in nightclubs or their equivalent for something besides liquor. Must be looking for a hamburger or something, huh? Okay. Perhaps he's having a secret and exciting affair with a girl who understands. In today's terms, gals, that means a girl who thinks like a man. Okay, yeah. He understands. In fairness, we must say that she may understand, but what are we going to do about a thing like that? A man so involved often feels very remorseful at times, especially if he's married to a loyal and courageous girl who has literally gone through hell for him. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. I suppose that would be injure them or others. How dare I clean my guilty conscience by tearing somebody, by tearing the ass right out of them? How dare I do that? Because guess what? If I'm doing that, then nothing's changed. It's all about me again. How dare I do that? Remember, put yourself on the other side of the table. How would that make you feel if they didn't know and you go ahead and puke that out on the table? Okay? And goes on to say, if she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we should admit our fault, but she may insist on knowing all the particulars. She will want to know who the woman is and where she is. You better watch that, man. You're gonna end up having neither of them, or all three of them, or however many you got out there, okay? You better hide the weapons, too, by the way, okay? We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve the other person. We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this course to take, okay, obviously. And it says, our design for living, not talking, not theorizing, but living, is not a one-way street. It can be as good for the wife as it is for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. Okay? Easier said than done. And it says, it is better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person on whom she can vent jealousy. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. Maybe both that will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. More prayer in step 9. He even uses the P word, prayer. Each might pray about it. Novel concept. Keeping the other one's happiness uppermost in mind. So wait a minute. If I really love somebody, I want their happiness before what I want. Man, that's a novel concept. That's whether it's with me or without me. I'll speak from my personal experience. When I crashed and burned, she left, took the kids. She got the divorce papers. I loved her enough to set her free. First time in my life. I love something enough where I put it above me. Novel concept. Oh, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. It wasn't about me. I wanted her to be happy whether that was with me or without me. Because I really loved her. It wasn't a self-serving love. And we could go on, and we don't have time to go on all that. There was a lot of soul searching to get to that point. That's loving somebody when you really put them first. I know, what an order I can't go through with it. It's about enough to make you puke, okay? So anyhow, it says, keep it always in sight that we're dealing with the most human, the most terrible human emotion, jealousy. Wow. Might want to put that on the thing on there. Jealousy. Remember, selfish, self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, the 402 forms of a spiritually sick person. I guarantee you jealousy's on the most of 402, and then some. Because jealousy comes in a lot of different forms and masquerades, but it's the same thing, jealousy. Okay, and it says, good generalship may decide that the problem is to be attacked on flank rather than face-to-face. Number 7, this is if you haven't been having sex or cheating on your spouse, and like I said, by the way, you can be cheating on somebody other than having sex with another person. You can cheat on them by never being there, by being with your buddies and your pals and spending money. There's a lot of ways to be cheating on somebody other than be having sex. That's the physical part. But, yeah, you can cheat on your spouse or your lover or your whoever without doing that part of it. There's a lot of different ways to cheat. So, anyhow, it says, if we have no such complication, there's plenty that we should do at home. Love this coming up. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. Really? Okay. Now, I've heard people say, well, all I have to do is stay sober, I'm making amends. That's not what just got done saying. In fact, he's going to tell you the exact opposite of that. living amends. What the hell is that? It doesn't say that in the book here, by the way. Make direct amends, everything that we've been talking about. Listen to what it says now. It says, sometimes we hear an alcoholic say the only thing you need to do is keep sober. Certainly he must, not should, could, ought to, keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good. Didn't say to say I'm sorry or apologize. Making good, amends, repair, equal to wife's parents for whom he is so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding that his patients, mothers, and wives have had with us alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, or perhaps would be dead. Okay, now obviously, he goes on to say this. The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through his way through the lives of others. Stop. That's too fancy of a thing. And I talk about it every year. Copley had a tornado in 1995. I remember the year. That's when the Indians made it the World Series and Jose Mesa blew that. I'll always remember that. The inventory on that one. It came through Copley. My brother-in-law's sister lived at a house out there, and you know what? We got the call. It was Sunday, and we went out there, and my God, if you've never seen destruction, see what a tornado could do. And there was nothing where this thing landed that resembled anything. I mean, it destroyed everything. Obviously, it didn't get to the magnitude of some of them. It's springtime, you'll see it. But when he says a tornado, imagine what it is. That means everything is shattered. Everything is gone. There is nothing left. That's what we do to people that we love in our home. That's why he's saying there's a lot of work to do. A tornado. Okay, now listen to what it says. And it says, hearts are broken. That's powerful. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Powerful. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. So now here's what he's saying here. We feel a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. He tells us on page 19 it ain't enough. Tells us on 82 that it's not enough. And he tells us on 122 it's not enough. Just because I quit drinking, that isn't making amends. I'm sober. Never forget, went to make amends, and I won't tell you who it was, said, hey, I've been sober for this long, I'm paying all my bills. He says, I don't give a shit, I've been doing it for 50 years. Well, I thought I was going to pat myself on the back. That's what grown-ups do. I don't pat myself on the back for being sober and start paying the bills, what everybody else in this country does, the majority, 90%. Remember, we're 1 out of 10. So that don't cut it. Don't tell me, show me. Make it right. Okay? Goes on to say this. He says, like the farmer who comes out of the cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, don't see anything matter here, Ma. Ain't it great the wind stopped blowing? Well, you think you're in trouble now. Go ahead and try that one, okay? It says, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. Stop right there. Reconstruction. That means that dirty four-letter word that ends with a K and begins with a W. Work. If you're going to have reconstruction, that means it's going to work. You're going to have blisters. You're going to have some long hours. You're going to have a lot of sacrifice. You're going to do a lot of things you don't want to do. But that's reconstruction. Somebody says, how long is it? Well, I'm glad that you asked. We'll go ahead and fast forward to 123. If you want to go, it will say this. But the head of the house has spent years in pulling the structures down of business, romance, and friend, and health. These things are going to ruin or damage. It will take time to clear away the wreck. The old buildings will eventually be replaced by finer ones. The new structure will take years to complete. I'll never forget, and I get a lot of them. It gets sobered up, and I want to get rid of her. I said, oh, really? I want a divorce. I said, oh, really? Okay. How long you been sober? 9 months. I said, oh, okay. How long were you drinking? 20 years. I said, good. And you come back in 19 years and 3 months, and then we'll talk about it. What you were drinking, you could do into recovery, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. Years. Plural. Okay. Now, it goes on to say this. Okay. We must, not should, could, ought to, take the lead. Uh-oh, here's where it is. A remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fill the bill at all. So, obviously, it's a lot more than words. It's work, reconstruction. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it. How are we seeing it? We're seeing it the truth. It's our bad. It's not theirs. We see it as the truth. I want to make it right. Tell me what I got to do and keep your mouth shut and do what they ask. And if you don't want to know, don't ask, because I guarantee you they're going to tell you. Okay? As we now see it, being careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So if they're sick, you made them that way. If you don't like what you see, that's a result of what you did. Okay? Now it goes on to say, such an important part, and look where he put this. It says every morning. And it doesn't matter if you've lost your family, if you've lost them in divorce, death, whatever it is, listen to what he says every morning. Okay. So we clean house with the family asking, more prayer, step 9. Okay. Each morning in meditation. That's not some mornings. That's not a lot of mornings. That's not many mornings. Not when I feel like it. Each. That's every day. So he teaches us how to pray. And by the way, stay tuned, because he really is going to teach us how to pray. Okay? I mean, really teach us how, but this is a forethought of it. Every morning, each morning in meditation, that our Creator shows the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. You cannot pray that prayer every morning. And he gives us 4 watchwords later on. You cannot say those 2 prayers and stay the same. I will caution you, though, when you say that prayer, please help give me patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. It's coming. You are going to be tested. So careful what you ask for. You might get it. Okay. The spiritual life, not the religious one, is not a theory. We have to live it. Not should, not could, not ought to. Unless one family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We think we should not talk incessantly about spiritual matters, not religious. They will change in time. Whose time? Not in yours. God's time. I got news for you. God don't have a Timex, a Rolex, a stopwatch, or maybe he does, but he doesn't use it. It ain't going to be in your time. Got to give time time. Remember, T-I-M-E, things I must earn. Okay? And it says, our behavior, not our words, our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must, not should, could, ought to, remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. Example number 8. There may be some wrongs that can never be fully righted. I'll tell you that. I'll give you some personal amends. How can I make it right to my children that I stole their father when they were kids? How can I make it right to my wife that she didn't have a husband for those years? How can I make it right that I stole my son's or my father's youngest son? Some of these runs, amends can't be fully righted. Okay? And here's what we're talking about, and this will be your sponsor. There's 2 types of sins. Sins of commission, what I did do, and sins of omission, what I didn't do. And some of those sins of omission are deep. I mean real deep. And I'll speak for myself. It's a lifetime, even though they all say we're all square. Yeah, well, guess what? Not good enough, because I know there are sins of omission, what I didn't do. Take it to your sponsor with that. And that's why I said I'll never, ever be done with this, even though they say we're square. Okay? All right. It says, we don't worry about them if we could honestly say to ourselves we would write, not to say sorry to them, if we could. People cannot be seen away. Dead. There's a lot of reasons why we can't see some of these people, okay? We send them an honest letter. There may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. Here we go. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without servile or scraping, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. So he gives us directions. Now, one of the most frequently asked questions is, don't we owe amends to ourselves? Man, we probably did. I heard everybody, including me, and in fact, I talked about it. If anybody treated me as bad as I treated myself, I would have killed him. It sounds sick, but it's the reality of the situation. But the amends to me is the byproduct, because the greatest amend I can make to myself to be free is to make my amends to you. Then and only then can I get it. The only way I can be free is from the past so I can live free in the future. When I make amends to other people, that's when the guilt, the shame, the fear, the remorse, the self-resentment, the self-loathing, the self-hate will disappear. That's how we get rid of that stuff, is by making amends to them. The greatest amend, like I said, I can make to me is by making it to you to be free in the future, to live this way of life. Now, if I don't do this step, the guilt, the remorse, they drag me back, and the next thing you know, what's going to happen? I'm going to start having trouble with myself, my mind. I'm going to be blocked off from God. I'm going to have trouble with him in that relationship. And guess what? I'm going to be so dry and miserable, so dry-y, and I'm going to surely have problems with you in the world. This is a design of living that is perfect. I'm going to go ahead and say that. It's perfect. Getting right with God, steps 1, 2, and 3. Getting right with ourselves, step 4, 5, 6, and 7. Getting right with our fellow man, 8 and 9. My God. And if you were here from the beginning, if you weren't, I'm going to go ahead and reiterate. Remember from the beginning, I promised you, if you were willing in step 1, if you believed in step 2, if you decided in step 3, and if you took actions on steps 4 through 9, you expected to receive certain things, and I promised you. The results that we get from putting back together in God's life as 10 and first 9 steps are what we call the promises. One of the most, let me go ahead and say it, misused, unexplained things that we do to each other in Alcoholics Anonymous. I see people, you get somebody brand new coming in, and they get them in the corner and reading them these promises. How dare you do that when there's 80, how many pages before that? How dare you do that? How dare you do that? I'm not saying that it's not a good thing, but it's how and why and when we do that. Because you can be chasing somebody out of this room. Now, these promises, as I talk about them, there's 152 besides this 12. They're a great set. I call these check marks. Or checks. If I haven't received these, then guess what? I've done something wrong, or I've admitted something, and I need to rework them. Now listen to these promises, if you will. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, what phase? We just got done steps 8 and 9. Okay? Listen to these, if you will, and I'm going to emphasize some words. We will be amazed before we're halfway through. By the way, that's a promise we don't even talk about. That's a promise in itself, isn't it? Okay? We are going to know a new freedom and new happiness. That means you've had neither of those two that they're talking about. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity. We will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing things for what we could not do for ourselves. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read them differently. And for the reason, and this is the point we're trying to make, this is why I'll speak for myself and probably most of us, drank to begin with, because I needed these. This was when alcohol was working for me, before it started doing things to me. It was working for me when I could be anything I wanted when I drank, and here's what it is. Okay. When I drank, I was amazed before I was halfway drunk, okay? When I drank alcohol, I knew a new freedom and a new happiness. When I drank alcohol, I did not regret the past and I wished to shut the door on it. When I drank alcohol, I comprehended the word serenity and I knew peace. When I drank alcohol, and I found out how far down the scale I had gone, I saw how my experience could benefit others. I was always giving free advice at the bar. And that feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappeared when I drank. When I drank alcohol, I lost interest in selfish things and gained interest in our fellows, especially you girls, okay? When I drank, self-seeking slipped away. When I drank, my whole attitude and outlook upon life changed. When I drank, fear of people and economic insecurity left me. When I drank, intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And when I drank, I realized that alcohol was doing things what I could not do for myself. Isn't that why we drank, y'all? Okay, now. Okay. Then it turned. Alcohol turned on me. Okay. This is something that I realized, that the first 9 steps gave me everything that alcohol used to. Except guess what? It's never turned on me, and they're never going to turn on me. In other words, what I'm saying, I've never been locked up because of the first 9 steps, haven't been fired because of the first 9 steps, haven't been divorced because of the first 9 steps, almost, never puked because of the first 9 steps, that's all real close too. But all of these promises, not some, not most, not a lot, all of them happen in the mind, not in the body. They are new attitudes of the mind. Remember what it said, we have been reborn. And I guarantee if you have those promises, you are different. Spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. See what it says now. Okay. And it says, this is one of the greatest things too. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, spiritual experience, sometimes slowly, spiritual awakening. One of the greatest promises in the book. They will always, not sometimes, not most of the time, not a lot of times, not quite a few. They will always materialize, qualifying word, if we work for them. Now, like I said before, this is why I love AA. It's why I love this program. It's a tremendous way of living. It's changed my life and it's changed my mind. I'll speak for myself. I did not get sober because of the physical pain. I would have died before I got sober because of the physical pain. If that's all you got, bring it on, man. Let's get it over with. Okay? It was because of the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual pain. That pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. So with that being said, real recovery is emotional, mental, and spiritual. Since none of these promises deal with the body, not one of them, they deal with the mind, then we have become different people if we've gotten these. To go from restless, irritable, discontent, filled with fear, guilt, shame, and remorse, the state of mind who has these promises, we've gone under a tremendous personality change. Remember page 63, we are reborn. None of those words really come into life. Doctor's opinion, if we're going to recreate our life, if you got these 12 promises, you've recreated your life and you are reborn. And that is somebody who's had a spiritual awakening or spiritual experience. Now the million-dollar question is, if we received all these things and have had a spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, why do we need to go on? That will be explained and proven next week, but I'm going to go ahead and give you just food for thought. The reason we have to, in the 3 biggest words in the last 3 steps, which we're getting to. Hey, I hear people applauding. The word continue in step 10. The word improve in step 11. And the word practice in step 12. And the reason that we can't stop here is because guess what? Nothing ever, ever stays the same. We started in January Remember the winter and the time change and all that? Here we are in April, and my, things have changed, haven't they? They've changed tremendously. Nothing in this world stays the same. Nothing. It's either growing or it's dying. So if I stop at this part of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am no different. I'm either going to get closer to my next drink or I'm going to continue moving further away. If I stop here, guess what? I don't stay there. Either it's going this way or it's going that way. Either it's growing or it's dying. Therefore, I must continue on with the rest of the program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And just food for thought, and we'll start with this as I will finish with this as I start next week with this. It is a misnomer. People will call the last three steps maintain your sobriety. I will give it to you if you take these last three steps, not work them. We've established this is the steps we took, not work. If you take these last three steps, yes, you will maintain your sobriety. But I will also promise you, if you take these three last three steps, as it is in this book, you can't stay the same. You will continue to grow. Because remember, we're only in the third dimension now. Come back and wait till he sees where he takes us. How about if we close with the Lord's Prayer? And we go to that quiet place before we do that to invite God in our mind, our heart, and our souls to hear, feel, and experience what we need to do tonight individually, if we could. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And also, we've been praying this prayer called the set-aside prayer, because a lot of us come with basic ideas and knowledge, and I know enough about AA and alcoholism to be dangerous to myself. What I think I know can be a liability and not an asset. Anyhow, this set-aside prayer, there's a couple, three versions, and this is the one that's growing fonder in my heart every week that we say it, and it goes as follows. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about my illness, everything I think I know about these steps, and especially what I think I know about you. For an open mind and a new experience with myself, my illness, these steps, and especially you. So what we've established too is what we've been trying to get. We've taken a paragraph out of this book, the 12 and 12. And it says, AA's 12 steps, a group of principles spiritual in nature, which if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. We call that a recovered alcoholic, the real deal, emotional sobriety. In Appendix 2, the 12 definitions or 12 examples or different words of the word change. And it so happens tonight is a big, big part of that word change. So that's what we've been trying to do. So we're going to finish up last week. We finished up with the A Lot of Men's process part of the book. We talked about the sins of commission, what we did in making the amends. And then I want to bring up another thought, and it really has changed that whole process for me. Sins of omission, what I didn't do. And those are sometimes as big or bigger. And sins of omission is I stole my father's youngest son, me, for a lot of years. Stole my wife's husband for a lot of years. Stole my children's father for a lot of years. And there's a lot of sins of omission, what I didn't do. So when we get to that point in time, we talked about that last week, about it being a lifetime. That's because a lifetime, not only what I did do, but what I didn't do. And obviously, for today in the arena where I'm at, there's a different kind of amends, not the living amends, but I talk about unspoken amends where I go above and beyond the call of duty for those aforementioned people and or on areas where I can't make those direct amends except when to do so would injure them or others, not being me. The unspoken amends where Almighty God and myself know about it, and that will take you to where we're going tonight. We talk about this, about being in the fourth dimension and the sixth sense. And by the way, especially you guys that I work with, when somebody tells you you don't owe the money back, yeah, you owe the money back, you're going to give it to me or you're going to give it to a charity or you're going to do something. If they excuse you financially, no, you are going to pay it back to somebody or something. So all you sponsees that are going to be doing that or whatever, we're not getting off the hook that easy. There are ways to do a lot of these amends, and that's one of them. I forgot to talk about that last week. So we talked about this last week, how we're going to get there. There's only two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle. The other as though everything is a miracle. What I'm saying is I don't have to do anything in life today. I get to do everything, therefore everything in life is a miracle. We were kind of talking about that from the beginning. Step 10 in 11 we talk about, and I will finally say this, and you can see on here we have these last three steps. And there are some optimal words in this, the word continue in 10, improve 11, and practice in 12. So try to keep that in mind as we're going through 10 and 11 tonight. Personal observation for step 10, I call this the remission step. In other words, I ask God, please keep my alcoholism in remission. God, please help keep my alcoholism in check. God, please get me in recovery. God, please keep me in recovery. And I will guarantee you, if you do step 10 as it is out of the book, those four mentioned things that you ask God for, you will be honored. So, and we talk about a couple different words that are kind of important tonight. The word continue. And by the way, in the narrative or the explanation of the 10th step, I believe you use that word continue four times. I can't continue something that I haven't done because that's impossible. Webster says continue to go on in some course of action, the fourth step. Resume, which means I've done the fourth step. To go on with, which means I've done the fourth step. Persist, without break or without interruption, to carry on. I can't continue something that I've never done. As simple as that may sound, it's a novel concept. Another thing a lot of people say, these are the maintenance steps. And he used the word maintenance in the narrative of the 10th step. And I will give it to you that this will, these 10, 11, and 12 will help keep you sober. But it's a misnomer because in the world, nothing stays the same. In other words, maintain means to keep up in a certain state, to keep in existence. And you cannot do steps 10 and 11 and stay the way you are. You will continue to grow, and that's what we're trying to get out of these steps. So, I always read something at this end. This was written out of the 12 and 12 in step 10. And by the way, we're clarifying it. The 2017 version of step 10 would be continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly explain it. No, that's why. So many times I hear people say, well, if or yeah, but, and anything after but is bullshit. I go ahead and said it again. So, no, that's not what we're saying. We're not explaining it. So, here's what he talks about this. He calls it spot checking. He says, a spot check inventory taken in the midst of disturbances can be a very great help in quieting stormy emotions. Today, spot check finds its chief application to situations which arrive in each day's march. The consideration of long-standing difficulties, in other words, the fourth step, had better be postponed when possible to times deliberately set aside for that purpose. The quick inventory is aimed at our daily ups and downs, especially those where people or new events throw us off balance and tempt us to make mistakes. So contrary to what people think, this is a walking around step, and you do your inventory, we'll find out in the evening in the 11th step, but this is the walking around from morning till night. He goes on to say, spiritual axiom. This is also, by the way, is out of the 12 step and 12 traditions book. He says, it's a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with us. If somebody hurts us and we are sore, we are in the wrong too. But are there no exceptions to this rule? What about justifiable anger? If somebody cheats us, aren't we entitled to be mad? And shouldn't we be properly angry with self-righteous folks? For us of AA, these adventures in anger are sometimes very dangerous. We found that even justified anger ought to be left those better qualified to handle it. We talked about that. And lo and behold, on page 66, we've already learned that. Quote, the grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for us alcoholics, these things are poison. Absolutely fascinating, and that's what we're trying to put into check, if you will, this thing called alcoholism. So, we are going to talk about the steps 10, 11. We're finishing up this chapter, if you will. Remember, at this point in time, why do we need these last three steps? Continue, improve, and practice. Some will say you need the last three steps to maintain your sobriety, and I will give it to you that they will help us stay sober. But the word maintain is a misnomer. Maintain means to keep the same, but there's a natural law that applies that there is nothing in the universe, and I'm going to say it again, nothing in the universe ever stays the same. There was one exception. God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. I suppose that other book talks about the Alpha and the Omega, and of course that's everything in between. So, everything in our universe is in a constant state of change. In fact, the only thing that constant is change. And here's the sad fact about it. Good news, bad news. Either it's growing or it's dying. There's nothing the same. Just like how we started in January, remember the cold, the snow, it was dark and whatever. And look where we're at a few months later. As you can see, everything is changing. Either it's progressing or regressing. Illustration, the trees, plants, they grow until it dies, then left unattended, it goes back to where it comes from, obviously where it came from. Our body is the same. It grows and grows until about the age of 19. There's maybe one or two in here that aren't quite 19 yet. But anyhow, it does the same thing. It grows and it goes back to where it came from. And somebody said, my God, I never thought we'd get to this thing. Chris didn't have a beard when we started back in January. Look at him now. Hell, I didn't have any gray hair. Look at me now. So, yeah, so you see what we're talking about. And I don't think your tail was that long either, was it? Look at that. So I can grab that. So anyhow, you can see we've made a tremendous amount of spiritual growth through the first 9 steps. We received the commonly called 12 promises that come after that step. Obviously, we've been receiving a lot of promises before that, and of course, we're going to receive promises tonight. Remember what we talked about, the promises, I also like to use them as a checklist. If these things aren't happening in my life when I take this step, then I may want to revisit it because something is missing, or I haven't done something at that point in time. So, what we're talking about, we can't stop here, or what will happen is we will regress. What happens, we start having trouble with people, with ourselves, with God, and before you know it, we will be so dry and miserable, or we will be drunk again. Bill talks about twice, and you might want to write this down if you weren't here, page 8 and 25. Fourth dimension. Remember last week how we finished up the three dimensions of living? Because Bill gets ready to take us to the fourth dimension. He talks about that, obviously, in his story in chapter 2. He talks about this dimension, what we've never dreamed of. We looked at the normal three dimensions, spirit, mind, physical world. And obviously, there's another dimension called the fourth dimension of living. I can't describe it. It's just like I can't describe that phenomena of craving. I will use some words that he uses in the book in what I've determined what this fourth dimension is. Obviously, I talk about utopia, talks about that, talks about heaven on earth, talks about I'm right in the middle of a miracle. I'll use that one. I am in this place that is unexplainable. And if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The last three steps are designed to continue spiritual growth, continue to improve our relations with God and others until we move in that other dimension of living. See what he says in that. I'm just real quick. I think we got time. Page 8, what does he talk about there? I believe that's in his own story, right? I believe. Page 8, it would be the third paragraph. And he talks about, or he finally talked about the dark night of the soul. And he says, how dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted in what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. He gives you a little taste of it. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life, not drinking, that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. I hope that's how you feel about your recovery. It is more incredible as time passes. On page 25, I think he takes us to that dimension again. So remember the textbook, obviously, it's cumulative. He's adding to it. And I believe this is what he talks about. Second paragraph, I think, and it says, when therefore we're approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven and have been rocketing in the fourth dimension of existence, which we would not have even dreamed. So now he is going to take us to the fourth dimension, if you will. Absolutely fascinating on how we get there. So here's one of the greatest things that I kind of laugh about and joke about, this as far as this thing, change. Okay, I'm going to read this. Change is the law of the universe. Without change, the world would not merely remain in a static state, but it would soon become stale and stagnant. Without change, there would be no progress, for change is the essence of betterment. It is obvious that to do anything is new and better ways, there must be a change. Many people look upon change with dread and foreboding, but those of us on the spiritual path, for those who believe in God and the power of prayer, change is a fuller expression of life. When a problem or condition arises in your life that indicates a change, rely upon God. And realize that it's not so much that a door has been closed on a chapter of your life, but rather that a door has opened on a new and more interesting things. And I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's a history book, and I know it's not conference approved. I believe it says, behold, I make all things new. Okay. Bill said that when he got out of town's hospital and was sober. Nothing's changed, but everything's different. So, yeah, I get it. And that's what we're talking about as far as that change. So,